It's February 28, 2010. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. My name is David Bolser, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University. We are a university of the church for the world. Pray with me as we open our hearts and minds to God. O Lord, this morning we come into your presence with hearts and minds that want to know you. We come offering the day-to-day routines of work, relationships, and play, wanting all of it to honor you. Remind us that no gift is too extravagant when it comes to worshiping you. Give us the pleasure of generosity in how we spend our resources and treat the people we meet today. Amen. That was The Church's One Foundation, sung by the CMU Alumni Choir. Today we are pleased to have Arden Thiessen with us as our guest speaker. He's been with us for the month of February. Arden has combined a life of studies with teaching and pastoral ministries, and he's a retired EMC pastor and occasional lecturer at CMU and Steinbach Bible College. Our theme today is extravagant love, and our text is Matthew 26, 6-13. Thank you, Arden, for being here today, for serving us during the month of February, and for living out your faith in this way.
One woman understood. One woman understood the new kingdom of Jesus would not be a kingdom of domination and violence. She understood that Jesus would not back down and accommodate his message to appease the authorities. She understood that Jesus would not cut and run when they would move in to kill him. She believed in the courage and consistency of Jesus, and she knew it would cost him his life. She understood. Because she understood, she came to anoint Jesus in preparation for his burial. Our text for today from Matthew 26 leaves her nameless. However, John says this was Mary, the Mary of Bethany, whom we know from previous gospel accounts. And by the way, I am using John's gospel to augment the narrative that Matthew has given us. There are some differences between the two, but I think it is right to regard them as two versions of the same event. And I suggest John helps us to interpret the significance of the account in Matthew. You see, John dates the event. It happened 6 days before the Passover. This means then that as Matthew assembles the material of chapter 26, he recalls the anointing that had happened several days earlier. In the first verses of chapter 26, Matthew reports that the chief priests and elders were plotting to kill Jesus. In verse 14, he says Judas went to the meeting and offered to help them. Bracketed by these two dark scenes, Matthew places the anointing of Jesus. Do you see what Matthew wants us to notice? Between the religious leaders who are planning to kill Jesus and the infamous disciple who will betray Jesus is this woman who understands what is happening. She decides to show her love, her loyalty, and her support by anointing him with her most precious possession. I suggest that the usual preaching on this passage has focused so strongly on the woman's extravagant generosity, which is certainly in order, that we have missed the point Matthew wanted us to notice. There was one woman who understood. I believe the contrast must have been intentional. Judas sold Jesus for 30 coins. Mary spent 300 coins on her expression of faith and loyalty. Judas was so frustrated and disillusioned by the way Jesus was working that he was willing to get whatever little cash he could and clear out. The other disciples thought the clashes in Jerusalem would eventually force Jesus to use his anointed power to seize control of the country. They still thought the cause of Jesus would lead to a free Israel. Mary understood Jesus. She knew he would die because he would not betray the mission for which he had appeared here. She knew that Jesus' program of peace could not be established with violence. He would not try to enforce peace with power. Rather, he would personally demonstrate the meaning of his message and accept the violence that evil and angry people would impose upon him. It would cost him the ultimate sacrifice. And Mary understood. It was common in that culture to anoint the dead for burial. Mary decided she would do it before he died. The disciples who saw her actions were quite practical and sensible in their criticism. We should not fault them. Such wealth could have been used to help the poor. Yes, of course. That's what they had learned from their prophets and even from the teachings of Jesus. But they didn't understand. Mary understood what would happen to Jesus, and she decided to endorse and confirm him in his saving mission. It is perhaps not a coincidence that this is the woman who once sat at Jesus' feet and learned from him, when she could have been doing practical stuff, like baking bread or washing dishes. She had learned well. Yes, we respect her unselfish generosity, and we admire her spontaneous decision to give up her best for her master. But first of all, we see her as one person who understood the essence of what God's redemptive work was all about. It would lead to Jesus' death. She didn't weep or lament, as would have been normal in that culture. She just wanted Jesus to know that she understood. Amen.
Way down yonder in the middle of the field, angel working at the chariot wheel.
Not so particular about working at the wheel. I just want to see how the chariot feels.
Oh, let me fly.
Oh, let me fly.
Let me fly.
That was Let Me Fly, sung by the CMU Singers. My interview guest today is Craig Martin. He's Assistant Professor of Business and Organizational Administration here at CMU. You said when we were having conversation about the interview that there was something that happened in one of your classes that you said, I got to bring that to the table. So
actually, it was my marketing class this year, and it was about half of them were your students and half of them were my students. And what I did is, instead of giving them a final exam, I gave them a group project. And so we broke the class into four groups and told them to go out and find a not-for-profit organization of their choice and come up with a marketing plan that solves one of their problems. And the students absolutely bit into it, and they just went gangbusters for it and made the entire class, even the lecture portions and the case study portions of the class that maybe aren't always the most exciting, they really bit into it and brought it really to life for them, and it really planted them. And they picked really neat groups. There's four groups. One was Eway, which is a fair trade jewelry company here based here in Winnipeg, a very small group who needs to get exposure. One of the students was involved with the group and now basically has created a really good marketing plan. The other three, Shalom Mission, Winnipeg Harvest, and actually CMU's athletic program. So very, very diverse groups. Bit into it, really good programs, to the point now that the final comment on all the papers has been, your organizations need to see this. Mm. And it really took it to heart, and they said it was so fun working on something that wasn't like a traditional product or service for-profit situation, that they actually were able to connect with a not-for-profit that really had some meaning to their hearts.
Yeah, and you're connecting with people, right? Like you can actually see the potential of meeting a felt need in their environment.
And they also were able then to take that and say, understand why marketing and communications and how those organizations still need to use those things in some cases to generate revenues, whether it's donations or whether it's that, or even attract simply volunteers and make awareness of opportunities for people out there that other people connect with those not-for-profits.
So when you go through a class like that, what do you walk away with as an instructor? What's kind of the residue that you're left with?
A lot of happiness when I see my students really find that this is interesting. I do put a lot of work in my courses, and when the students come out really enthused about it and thanking me for the course, that really gives me that good, warm, fuzzy feeling inside. But also a fact, it's like, okay, we've really got some good young people here, and we've got these people that can go out and do some really amazing things from CMU.
Craig, thanks so much for coming and telling some of your stories.
No problem.
Here are some upcoming activities at CMU. March 14 at 7 p.m. in the Loewen Athletic Center is the Mennonite Community Orchestra with CMU choirs featuring Haydn's Mass in Time of War, admission at the door. March 21 at 3 p.m. in the Winkler Burgtaller Mennonite Church is the Southern Manitoba CMU fundraiser event featuring the CMU Guitar Ensemble and Men's Chorus. And then later that evening, March 21 at 7:30 p.m., you can join us for CMU Vespers in the Laudamus Auditorium, a time of quiet worship, contemplation, music, and scripture. For more information regarding these and many other events, check your church bulletin or visit the CMU website at www.cmu.ca. Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. You can listen anytime to the program on our website, and I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education. You can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shasbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P2N2, or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, my prayer for you is this. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.